Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's me, Matthew. And who's this over here?
Who am I? Another man inside a pastry shop. I wonder if I will come out on top. I saw an eclair. It was over there. It was full of my mother's hair. Why is that? It was a voodoo man behind the bench. He wanted to... Now, wait. Oh,
I think you might have lost the...
Do you do another thing is a thing right over there. Now I remember that the man stole my mother's hair. Mm. It must have been while she slept or when she fell down in a ditch.
Oh.
Here comes a thing you've got to itch.
Thank you.
Matthew.
You're still stuck on that miserable.
Where am I? Oh, Joanne made me less miserables. I was reminded of the Fantine Pro-V. I was reminded of the Epilady Eponine. I was reminded of here a little touch, there a little smell. Oh, Matthew, it doesn't end well, but it does. Now, I need to do an addendum.
Yes?
Last time I said falsely and maliciously, slanderously, that Les Miserables took place before the French Revolution, and it was an inspiration. The events of the June Rebellion were inspiring to the Revolution. That's not true. The French Revolution happened in the 1700s, Matthew. The events of Les Miserables happened in the 1800s. It was just some other little thing. They couldn't get rid of the monarchy for good and forever for quite a while. They kept struggling and kissing and, making love, French style.
Yeah, I don't know anything about French history, and I took French for many years in high school.
Well, what did you learn?
I learned how to say a few things, bonjour.
Okay.
I actually could get by kind of okay when I was in France 2 years ago.
What did you say?
I could get by well enough to, like, order food and ask for directions and apologize for bumping into things and people, I suppose.
Apologize to me right now.
Oh, excusez-moi.
Is that what you would say?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yes. Yes, just like that. Oh, pardon.
Did you get the French kiss? That's when two bottoms press their buttholes together and they become stuck.
Mm-hmm.
That's known as the French kiss.
Yes. That's how you say hello to all the shopkeepers in Paris.
Say hello. So I'm getting my poisson ready for the day. I go. And I'm chopping away. Now
yes.
You come say order something.
Oh. I don't know. What am I ordering? A fish?
Hey, les poissons.
Chop. I guess, avez-vous des poissons?
Oh, avec moi!
Oui, combien?
La bouche.
Oui, pour la bouche.
Amuse la bouche.
Yep. Okay, I feel like our communication is breaking down.
Non, monsieur.
Problème.
Sacré bleu. Amuse la bouche?
Oui, pour amuse la bouche.
Avec poisson?
Je voudrais amuse la bouche avec du poisson.
Un petit prince?
Petit quoi?
Petit prince.
Oh, jeez.
Un petit prince. Un petit rey.
Oui.
Oh! Les poissons. Les petits rays de les poissons. De la mer.
Oh!
Monsieur le maire.
Oui. Je suis le maire.
C'est
moi.
Des gars, c'est moi.
Des gars, c'est moi.
C'est moi.
Vous êtes des gars?
Why
am I using vous on you?
Vous. J'accuse. J'accuse les poissons. J'accuse amuse-bouche.
Tu accuses le poisson.
Vous, j'accuse les poissons. Et pardon, monsieur, I speak English.
Oh, my God.
Exclusively. Welcome.
Thank you. Merci.
Merci.
Je suis mort.
Oh, Javert.
So, Joanne says that it's fine that we spoiled Les Mis for her.
The Miserables.
She prefers to have things spoiled before she sees them, because otherwise she wonders what's going to happen next, and it's too stressful.
I understand that. I also think... So I would always, as a youth, read the last page of a book first.
I often did that, too.
Just the page, not the whole chapter, mind you. So often I didn't know what was happening, but I would read the last page, Matthew. So I understand this. I also think that in my life, it can be good to go into a musical being familiar with the story such as it is, and in some cases even being familiar with particular songs, because it can be hard to catch the meaning of the words when they are coming at you for the very first time in the theater. Now, not always, but I think in some cases, when the story is sung and presented in such a theatrical way, going in with a bit of an understanding can be a bit of an advantage.
I think I consumed Book of Mormon in that way. I listened to the soundtrack many a time before I actually saw it, and I definitely didn't know what the show was exactly about.
There's much that is not in the songs.
Yeah. So it was still a good way to appreciate the show. And I think I enjoyed... Yeah, I enjoyed seeing it once I actually did see it. I was in standing room. I was in the very back of the Eugene O'Neill Theater.
Oh, my.
Standing next to Cleve Jones, which is a weird way to see that show.
Oh, my goodness, Matthew. And what was his... Were his humors foul or fair?
Oh, no. He had an uproarious... He had quite the laugh.
Oh, my
goodness. He liked it all. And then afterwards, we met the cast, which was very nice.
Oh.
We got to hang out. It was so strange, because we went from, like, standing in the back of the theater to, like, standing on stage.
Oh.
So we got to, like, wander around and look at all the Bibles that they used in the show were, like, just textbooks with new covers put on them.
Oh, sure.
Which is not particularly exciting, but anyway, I was there in New York for some Prop 8 stuff at the time.
Now, not everyone knows what a Prop 8 is.
Well, I suppose not. It's over a decade now.
Sure, and it was isolated to one state, Matthew, one little penis-shaped state.
Well, as causes go, people were very exercised about it, but that was 11 years ago now.
11? Why, it's almost old enough to see a PG-13 movie.
I guess, sure.
Not old enough to send a Snapchat of its own genitals to a friend.
No, I hope not.
Not yet.
So that was the law in California that got rid of gay marriage, and then there were a lot of fights about it, and then eventually it went away.
Well.
I helped make it go away because I was in New York to do a fundraiser to pay the lawyers to get rid of it. And
you did nothing. It was all a result. Look at the face of you. It was all, Matthew, single-handedly down to those pictures with duct tape over the mouth.
Oh, God. I forgot about those. Still happening?
I don't know. That is what ended Proposition 8 in California, Matthew. It was no legal action at all. It was putting tape over your mouth and taking a very blown-out portrait.
Now, I will say that a lot of the work that has been done that is some of the most important work is public education and outreach and hearts and minds, etc.
Oh, that's not the only pieces you've got to touch.
But I never got those pictures. Like, I never. Why? Oh. I never. That's what I said when I saw them.
Oh.
Those no hate photos with the everybody's dressed in white and they've got the duct tape over the mouth for some reason. They've got no hate painted on their face. And sometimes they're just holding some random item.
Yes.
That's the part that's the weirdest to me. That's so, like, clearly just a vanity thing.
Oh, vanity, vanity.
I'll bring my favorite shoe or something like that.
Oh, now that's almost art. Someone posing with a shoe in one of those? Did you ever see one with a shoe?
I don't think so.
Oh, what about with Elizabeth's shoe?
Yes.
It would not surprise me.
Everybody did one of those. And then it kind of got to the point where it's like, what even is this?
It's the silent spring, Matthew.
Why? I don't remember the duct tape. There was a reason for it, but it was how our voices have been silenced. Yeah, that's what it was.
Shouldn't the bucket be on your head?
Yeah, we've been silenced, but we've painted the message on our face, so we don't have to make noise. But I don't feel like we were silenced, because we can still make a lot of noise in protest, so I don't know what it's trying to say.
We're on the way to the white party. It's saying that branding is king, baby.
Mm.
Matthew.
It was a strong brand.
Now, how do you say baby in French?
Bébé.
Do like bébé's kids?
Yes,
they don't die; they multiply.
Bébé, I think.
Oh, Matthew, we were talking about musical theater.
Yeah.
Don't you know that the Book of Mormon? You had listened to the music before you saw the show.
That is true.
And I did the same, and I found the show. There was much in it that
yes.
I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, it gives you a lot more. There's a lot of actual story that happens outside. Same thing with Avenue Q, I think.
Indeed. You haven't seen the Avenue Q, though, have you?
I have not.
I was very surprised by just how much more there is to it than just what is on the album.
Sure.
The songs are good, but it's a good show. Well, I don't know. I saw it years ago. Maybe it's not good, Matthew. Maybe it's bad. But I'll tell you what, Matthew. I was in jolly old England
mm-hmm.
when I saw Avenue Q, because I had an evening to kill, mm-hmm. and I was on the... I was near the Piccadilly Circus, Matthew, near... That is the sound it makes 24 hours a day, near a very American Burger King. They had an Americana-themed Burger King there
yes.
with, like, Elvis and James Dean, and you'd sit in,
famous
like...
friends.
Absolutely, Matthew. It had, like, the checkered floor and the red booths and the milkshake things, and it was like something from the Happy Days, like a real Mel's Diner, Johnny Rockets experience.
Yeah, we've got one of those downtown, Johnny Rockets. Every time I go to the movie theater, I see it.
Oh, sure, but this was a Burger King, Matthew. Marilyn Monroe trying to keep her
sure.
panties on,
you don't
Matthew.
Really see that in American Burger. If anything, you see... Wait, Mayor McCheese, is he from... He's from McDonald's.
He's Canadian.
Oh.
Matthew, he's from Canada.
From Ottawa.
Matthew, his mouth is full of poutine. Don't let it fool you, Matthew. So I saw it there.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what. Because I didn't want to spend a lot of money, they had some, like, last minute, just like, hey, poor people... Come see the theater.
Oh, you're a groundling.
Kind of. Actually, very true. Yeah, so it was like the day of, just before it started, and it was the like, oh shit, we didn't fill the house tickets.
Unlike in the movie House Party.
Exactly right, Matthew. So I was in the very top level of the very top balcony looking down on these puppets, which was fine. However,
yes.
It did not occur to me that there was a part of the show where they accost the audience for money.
Oh, what?
Matthew.
What?
There's a part, it's in the song, it's the give us your money.
Oh.
And they actually have people come into the audience with buckets.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so up at the very top row of the very top balcony, I had spent my last tuppence to see this show, and they're coming after me with a bucket, Matthew. It's much like when I went to the Tower of London,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't realize the man in the fuzzy hat at the end was going to want some money. And so I just gave him a little nod, and he gave me, he didn't give me a look at all, but in my mind, he was like, you piece of shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't realize I had to tip. No, I haven't had to tip here. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, that's what got you locked up?
That, I lost my head, Matthew. And these are, we're so, Matthew was so European. We started off we started wetting ourselves with blood and watering the fields of France with our ass. And then we went to England, where I saw an Avenue Q. We went to New York, which might as well be Europe too. Then I sat on my hand until it went numb with the thing. I was going to the bathroom, but I couldn't feel my penis.
So what happened with the person collecting money at the show?
It's like at church when the little plate comes around. I had to make myself very small and disappear under the seats.
Oh, did you
I slid all the way onto the stage, Matthew.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I would not be surprised if you literally crouched behind a seat so that you were not seen.
Dissolved, Matthew. It's not like in Cats where they give you a lap dance.
This reminds me somewhat
yes.
of an experience I had in Amsterdam.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is insufferable. Go on.
I'll tell you what was insufferable is this dance show.
Oh, my.
So I got invited to...
What a review. J'accuse.
To a dance recital or something by a very cute boy.
Oh.
And So I went, and we were going to meet up afterwards. And so he was already there for some reason, and I had to get the last ticket I could, which was to literally the top row and the back of the side behind a pole out in the cold.
I've heard of this.
It was very far away from the stage. And I actually kind of think it was better because that made it so that I didn't feel so rude about almost nodding off many times during the show.
Goodness.
It was, the dance was.
Yes.
People.
Let me just ask you for 1 second.
Yeah.
Was it the dance of the Sphinx and the Chimera?
I wish.
Oh,
if only it had been that. Who is that? That's not William H. Macy.
It's even, well, I was going to say even better, but.
Is it the man from the lighthouse?
It's the man from the lighthouse.
It is, William Defoe.
Oh, you've committed the greatest of sins.
Willem Defoe.
Willem.
I don't know about that.
Willem.
I don't like it.
Matthew.
William.
The dance of the Sphinx and the Chimera. Tell me about it.
He gets naked and twirls his dick around.
Oh, this is what you saw in Amsterdam.
No. Oh. This is the Sphinx and the Chimera.
Oh, yes.
In Amsterdam, it was kind of a walking back and forth kind of show.
Uh-oh.
So it was like 2 fucking hours long.
No.
And most of it was just people coming out on stage and doing something that would produce a noise.
Oh.
And I guess it was sort of like Philip Glass-ish in that they would just produce noises at different intervals. And
like stomp.
Yes, but very, very, very slow. Imagine stomp slowed down. Yeah, Creep. Maybe. Although that makes me think of Radiohead's Creep, which could be a good basis for a musical.
But I'm a creep. Oh, this was a musical.
I don't even know. It was just noises. Like, and the noises were like...
Shuffle.
Yes. That is what it was. Like, they had a plastic tarp, and somebody would just kind of like, whoosh, rustle the plastic tarp.
But like, did it build to some orgiastic explosion?
There was absolutely no build whatsoever.
Oh my God.
Nothing increased.
Oh.
And in that respect, it was a little different from a stomp or even a Philip Glass in that, like, those at least change over time. But this was just, you know, or somebody brought out a bucket of water and they would drop a tennis ball into it. And that was, that's the number.
Oh no.
It was one of those. It was very that. And so.
Oh no. Matthew, did you have to pretend to like it? Did you say?
I did.
You did? Oh
I
my.
I did. Because the cute boy liked it.
What did he like about it?
What did he like about it? Jesus. It was so unexpected or something like that.
Oh boy.
It was, I don't know. I think the people who liked it, it seemed to like do that ASMR thing where it like just kind of like puts you into a trance.
Oh, I don't want to be in a trance.
No, neither do I. It didn't do it for me.
Oh.
I'll tell you that.
Whole time. I'm not sure like dropping a tennis ball in a bucket of water would do it for me.
I don't know.
I did want to be in a trance.
I don't know. And then like the director gave this like talk afterwards.
Oh. What? Well, okay. Wait, was it in English? Could you follow it?
I could, but this was 2 years ago, and I was super exhausted and impatient and totally disinterested.
Oh.
And so I'm trying to remember. I think the whole gist of it was like reimagining the bounds of what constitutes theater or something like that.
All right. Whenever someone does that, it's like, you know what? They figured out the bounds a while ago, and
this
for the
just
most
confirmed
part, yeah, you are the exception that proves the rule.
Yes.
Now, not to say there isn't room for experimentation. Of course there is. But often when it's like, this conforms to none of the rules of what makes an entertainment experience entertaining, it's like, well, and I mean, I get that art doesn't have to be entertainment. It doesn't have to be entertaining.
Oh,
but
art
also,
isn't
easy. You don't, you know, not a lot of people will see that.
No, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
I didn't like it, but.
It will be forgotten, like you will. Your name, not you personally, Matthew. But you make the bad art. You think you've challenged the boundaries. But what happens is you are forgotten. Almost as soon as someone has seen your garbage, they have forgotten it. Although you didn't forget it.
And no, I'm still talking about it.
Your name fades like the wind.
But I can't remember what he was trying to do. I just remember some vague ideas. I didn't like it.
Oh my goodness, Matthew. Well, I'm going to have to return your Christmas present.
Did you get me Shuffle, the soundtrack for Christmas?
That, and it comes with a tarp you can lay down in your own house and walk slowly across.
Oh, James, you really must have... Did you have to sacrifice to get me one of those?
In order to get you a tarp, I had to sell all our flooring.
Oh, no. Well, I got you a Swiffer
for
Christmas.
Oh.
But I had to sell our tarp holder.
Oh, my God, Matthew. Well, this has really tickled my O. Henry. And this is far more entertaining than dropping a tennis ball in a bucket of water.
Well, let's hope so. Just marginally, but sure.
Marginally.
You've been engaging in some more entertaining entertainment for the last few days.
Oh, well, why don't you describe it, Matthew? Because I have descriptions, but you have descriptions.
Well, we both have been doing things.
Yeah.
I've been playing Outer Worlds. You've been playing Get the Box.
Yes.
What's the name of it? Death Stranding.
No, I'd rather you just call it Get the Box.
Tell
everyone about the video games.
Okay. So it's been in the works for a long time, and they've been teasing this game by putting out videos that look like weird art films. And now it's finally out, and it's actually kind of fun to watch. And it seems like you're having fun playing it. I don't think we would enjoy being in each other's roles.
Oh.
Like, if I was playing the game, I don't know that I'd enjoy this one.
Oh.
And if you were just watching me play, you'd probably get increasingly frustrated.
Oh, my.
But
yeah.
The game is basically a very weird art experiment / delivery system. So you're basically a FedEx walker.
You walk boxes from one place to another.
Across the country. You take a box and you walk with it from one city to another. Now,
from DC to Denver.
Yeah.
But it takes 5 minutes.
Well, maybe a little more than that, but not much more. And this doesn't really capture all the weirdness of it.
Oh, my goodness.
At one point, there's a baby with the face of director Guillermo del Toro with the Frankenstein scar across his forehead.
Yeah.
That's just a sampling of how weird this game is.
Guillermo del Toro factors into it quite a bit, Matthew, which is a weird choice because he's known for the movies he's directed. I don't think anyone really knows him as a character or a character actor.
No one's like, I can't wait to see Guillermo del Toro's next big role.
Sure, but he's wearing a big rubber raincoat with armpit vents.
Yeah.
Matthew, and he does have that Frankenstein scar across his forehead.
So the game takes place in some sort of post-apocalyptic future where I can't tell if they're aliens or supernatural things or ghosts or death people or what, but everything, civilization has fallen.
Yes.
And there's just like ruins left behind.
Yeah.
And there's ghosts that kind of like float in the air and they want to drag you down into puddles of oil.
Yes. And if they do, you'll blow up and they'll blow up and it will leave a lot of destruction. Oh, the destruction of it all, Matthew.
It's, scary.
The ghosts.
Kind of a scary game.
They want to get you.
So you have to deliver boxes while these ghosts are menacing you, and your ghost detector, you have a little ghost detector that you carry around.
It's like the PKE meter in Ghostbusters, but not exactly the same.
It's a little fetus
in
a Tupperware box that connects to a desk fan that you wear on your shoulder.
These are all accurate, yes.
And the desk fan turns on whenever there's ghosts nearby, because only the baby can detect ghosts, I think?
The babies can detect ghosts, yes. These special babies can detect ghosts. So you have to, you hold it in a little pod next to your abdomen, and then it connects to the internet. It also connects to your desk fan. And when I say it connects to the internet, it makes a modem sound.
Oh, God, yeah, that's right. There's so many... So you compared... not Miyamoto, good gracious. What's his name? Kojima. Mm-hmm. Hideo Kojima, who made this game, to Ed Wood with a lot of money, in that he's got a lot of ideas, and they're strange, and they may not exactly make sense or be comprehensible, but in making this game, he had a lot of resources, so he could make them look real nice.
They do look very nice. And there are a lot of ideas, especially if you dig into, you can get emails in-game, not from real people, from made-up people. You can get emails and you can read interviews with characters, and I'll tell you what, there are a lot of ideas. And like an Ed Wood, or even a Wiseau, or perhaps a Verhoeven, all of these, or the motion picture event, The Apple, there are a lot of ideas, and they are expressed in... ways that are not always maybe the most interesting or accessible or entertaining, but I'd say the thing overall, I'm still not sure. I've played a lot of it. I continue to play more. I will probably play more when we're done with this, and I'll tell you what. I don't know if I like it, but I'm very interested in it. It's a very interesting. It does a lot of things. I actually would... I'm hesitant to spoil, because it can be spoiled, I think. Much like the video game Breath of the Wild, I think in some ways just describing some of the things you can do in it could perhaps be a spoiler, because discovering I can do that is part of the fun of it all. But at its core, you move a box from one place to another, and you can either say, I'm going to only try to take a couple boxes, or I'm going to try to take a lot of boxes. And if you try to take a lot of boxes, your rewards will be greater, but you may fall over and drop them. Won't that be sad?
It would be sad.
It is a bit like,
yeah,
in my mind, it's a bit like Animal Crossing, first,
yes,
of all, but it's also a bit like a game like Puzzle Quest. Forgot the name.
Oh.
Or Catherine.
Wait. I don't know those.
Well, these are games where they have a relatively simple core gameplay thing that you do.
Like Uno.
Kind of. But a very robust story experience wrapped around it.
Not like Uno.
Not like Uno. So in Puzzle Quest, you basically play Bejeweled, but you play it as a character, and you have a whole RPG adventure, and you battle monsters, and you beat bosses, etc., by playing Bejeweled, but it is also a bit of a story. Now, these comparisons are not entirely fair, but if you take a little Animal Crossing, a little Breath of the Wild, a lot of Metal Gear Solid 5, some Catherine, some etc., and you mix it up, and you get the Death Stranding game.
Mm.
Apparently, Conan O'Brien is in it.
That's what they say.
It gives you an otter suit.
Just in time for the new otter emoji.
Tell me about this emoji, Matthew.
Apple has added an otter emoji.
Oh.
Somebody tweeted, that little otter has no idea what the gays have in store for it.
I bet they won't even use it, though, because they like their fruit too much.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, tell me this, though, Matthew. We're on the subject of video games.
Yes.
What have you been playing, and what has it done to you?
I've been playing Outer Worlds. It's very good. I like it a lot. Here's what I've been enjoying, James. I'm playing The Outer Worlds over here on this monitor, and you're playing Get the Box over there on that monitor.
Yes.
And I like sitting next to you and playing a video game.
Well, if you try to do it, I'll get you.
Okay, I hope you will.
Oh, voulez-vous?
Yes?
Voulez-vous?
Uh-huh.
C'est moi?
Sure. Outer Worlds...
C'est bon.
Yes. Outer Worlds has been very good.
You tell me about it, Matthew.
It's a fun RPG in space.
Oh!
So you've been thawed out, like Rita Repulsa. You've been in cryogenic sleep on a ship that was thought to be lost, and you have to do some favors for people to get money and to get the... chemicals to wake up other people on the ship and to uncover what's going on in the galaxy in the 80 years or whatever it's been since you've been out of it. It seems like there's been a lot of like corporate takeovers of every aspect of a person's life. And so it's one of those standard like, oh, everything is owned by the corporation now and we live in a horrible dystopia of capitalism. But maybe we'll destroy. Maybe we'll smash capitalism by the end of the game.
Maybe. Matthew. You've made companion friends.
Yes, I like that there are friends that you can make and add to your crew. So that's very fun. Mm-hmm. I like that there's a lesbian love story.
Oh.
And I've got a little romance brewing of my own with Felix.
Oh.
A dummy.
Oh, he is a dumb.
He's dumb and strong.
Yes.
My type.
Have you used his special attack?
Not yet. We haven't had an opportunity.
Oh, no, wait.
We did get into a fight. Did we? We did get into a fight. I haven't used his special attack yet.
Well,
I always forget about it.
I'll tell you one of the great things about his special attack, Matthew.
Yep.
This is not about his special attack. This is just a thing in life. You can save the game and then go to anyone.
Yeah.
Like, go around the town or the space station or wherever. Mm-hmm. Tell him to do a special attack on just anyone.
Okay.
Matthew. Because the animation for it is a real treat.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen it yet, so I guess, so unlike Joanna, I don't want to be spoiled.
It's true. You can save the game and then just point the cursor at some person in town and tell Felix to get him and see what happens.
I will do that.
Oh, keep but plucking that chicken.
The way that I've been playing it is I'm a diplomatic and I'm a manipulator. I negotiate and tell people what they want to hear and form alliances and allegiances and also rely on others to do my work for me.
What Star Trek character are you most like?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess I'm sort of like, I'm a bit of a Romulan.
Oh my goodness. Oh, like Tasha Yar's sister, Tasha Yar.
It's kind of.
Or Yar Shatar. What was her name?
Yar Shatar. Yes. Sela.
Sela V.
She was behind a scheme with Lursa and Bator. What? No. How dare you laugh at me after all your nonsense? With the with Lursa and Bator. And at one point, when she's still in the shadows and pulling the strings, as Bela Lugosi said, Captain Picard thinks he's figured out what's going on, and he says to the Klingons, he says, "You have manipulated You've manipulated the circumstances with the skill of a Romulan to let them know that he knows what's going on."
Oh my!
And they give each other a little look.
Oh,
he says, "Thank you for the tea," and then he leaves.
Oh. Oh, now that is... Oh, honey. Oh, honey, Picard spilled the tea, honey.
He did. He didn't spill it. Although,
what if he did? What if he
threw scalding tea at them?
He picked up the teapot and just dumped it out over Bator's head.
Well, I don't want that.
And she was like, now he is the master of Bator. Mm-hmm.
They're the Duras sisters, you see.
Oh, Matthew, they love Durex. They say, voulez-vous avec Durex?
Would you like with Durex?
Well, that's when you're about to make love.
Yes.
That's what you say.
Oh, okay, sure. That could work. The meaning could come across, potentially.
What? And then you dangle it in front of someone and you say, "J'accuse."
Stupid.
After you've filled your Durex prophylactic, Matthew, with your nightmare payload... Oh, Matthew, with your contraband cargo. Oh, you wave it around in front of Lursa and Bator. You do your little hoppity-hop from side-to-side dance.
Oh, a little rabbit.
And you say, "J'accuse."
J'accuse.
Matthew.
Well?
No, tell me more about your out-of-world.
Oh, yes. I accidentally killed a few people, but very many.
Oh, who did you accidentally kill?
A security guy. So got permission to be in the security office.
Yes.
And I'm bumping and bopping around in there.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, I like the looks of this thing. I took a thing off the shelf. And I thought they were going to give you a little warning. If somebody saw you take something, mm-hmm. I thought they'd be like, "Hey, you're not supposed to do that before things get violent." But I just took something. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, one of the security guys is like, "I'm going to kill you."
Oh my god.
And he wanted to fight. And so I was like, I better get out of here. So I ran through a door and closed the door, hoping that he wouldn't get me.
Yeah.
But somebody else was on the other side of the door who their anger switch had been flipped as well.
Oh.
And so they started to beat me up on the other side of the door.
Oh my
god. So I had to kill them very quickly. Nobody else heard what happened. And so there's just two dead bodies in the security office now.
Matthew.
I didn't do it.
Oh my. To have done this.
Is a pain.
It is a pain. We should discuss the Adventure Zone graduation.
There is a new Adventure Zone.
Yes.
They have started season 3?
Season 3.
Graduation Day, which is a little misleading.
Well, it's just called Graduation.
Graduation Day.
Okay.
It's a little misleading because it doesn't actually take place on Graduation Day.
It's not called Graduation Day.
The first day of school. Uh-huh. It should be called First Day.
But that's just the first episode.
Yes, but when they wake up.
What?
When they wake up the next day, it will also be the first day.
Oh, my. Well, I guess each first day is day the first of the rest day of the rest of their lives. It's true.
So, anyway, they play students at a magic school, but they're all sidekicks. And so they're learning about their bodies and each other.
It's true.
It's very funny.
It is the first 35 minutes are very funny.
It goes on to do some things that I don't think are successful, but they're at school and they're learning, and they are also learning what makes a show successful.
It's true. Well, I mean, I think they have a...
They're trying new things.
They'll try new things, Matthew. Now, I'll tell you this. The first 35 minutes are very funny.
Yep.
The remaining parts of it are a pain to me, but they are okay. And I think that now that that table has been set, mm-hmm. as long as it's like the table has been set and we don't have to do that again, mm-hmm. fair enough, Matthew. It's I don't want to discourage anyone from listening. You should listen. But just be aware that there's a stretch that I personally found less entertaining than the rest of it. However, I am nonetheless intrigued by where it is all going. And I am the one who has... moved box after box after box with a fetus clapping at ghosts. So don't take my word for it. Listen to your heart.
I liked it. I agree that there are some parts where you just kind of find it very hard to listen. And I think that might... The reason that it's hard to listen is because I think there's not a lot of listening happening in the show.
Oh, wow. Oh, honey, you got your Picard teapot out.
I spilled the tea on the Dura sisters.
Oh, my. That's the new thing to do, Matthew. Mm-hmm. They're so shocked they can't even fight back. You'd think that after all these years of warrior training, Matthew, but they did not expect a bald French Englishman to pour tea on them.
That's their greatest vulnerability, the Klingons.
It's true. You have a moment. You have a split second after you pour tea on them, mm. where they're so surprised that you can boop them on the forehead,
yep.
and that's where they keep their genitals.
Oh, yuck!
Yes. So if you if you're real quick, you pour the tea on them, Matthew, and while they're momentarily stunned, you give them the boop, and then they have such an erotic release that they are spent and unable to fight back.
Now, here's what I thought about Klingon reproduction.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how much of this I'm remembering accurately. But as a child, I believe I recalled seeing an episode where Worf has a girlfriend.
Oh.
And they engage in what I thought was sex.
Oh.
And what they do, here's how I remember it. My memory might not be accurate, is they clasp, they put their hands up.
Yeah.
Like they're giving each other a very slow high five.
Okay.
And then they interlock their fingers and they squeeze their fingers together.
Uh-huh.
And they dig each other's nails into each other's, the backs of each other's hands so hard they bleed.
Oh, yuck.
And so they've got bloody hands.
Yeah.
And that is how I thought Klingons have sex.
But it's not how you thought people have sex, is it? Although you don't trim your nails and you're always slicing and dicing at me, and slashing and gashing.
That is not true.
It is true. I'm covered in wounds.
You.
Swoons.
James.
What?
That's not true.
Voulez-vous. Matthew, it is
true. Do you
true.
Want? That's what all that means is do
Matthew,
you want?
Matthew, voulez-vous... voulez-vous tourniquet?
Do you want a tourniquet?
Voulez-vous? Because of the slashing and the gashing, Matthew.
Look, I recognize that sometimes my nails are long, but that's because they have to be in order to protect my fingertips.
Not true. Not true. They're plenty. They're too long, and they slash.
Are you going to say there's plenty of ways to protect your fingertips?
There are plenty of ways, Matthew. You can get little beanie caps for each tip.
Don't think I haven't considered that.
Oh. But wait a minute. You wore fingerless gloves.
I know.
You wore everything
so
but
could,
the finger.
I could operate things. What I need is fingerless princess gloves.
Uh-huh.
So that I can be covered up to my elbow. So I need the covering to go from my elbow, up my arm, past my wrist, to the bottoms of my fingers.
Okay.
And then I need a mitten that goes on top of that.
No.
But it has to be like a hard mitten.
What? What's a hard mitten?
That would be, I guess, a hoof.
What?
But that would be the most Wait. Comfortable thing for my hands.
You're just creating horse limbs.
I think that's what I want.
No.
I think I want the limbs of a horse.
Oh, my goodness.
No, because, James, fingertips are very sensitive.
No.
They are. I don't understand how you could do it. Your fingernails don't exist practically.
I don't like to have any fingernail, but you're always slicing and dicing, Matthew.
Mm.
You're like Julia Child when she hacked at that chicken.
I don't like when something touches my fingertips.
But you have to accept the sensation of love, Matthew.
I would like nothing more than that.
But if I get near you, you're a prickly pear.
What do you mean?
You'll slice.
Oh. You mean I'll slice you up? Well, James, you just have to put my hooves on, and then you'll be protected.
Oh, no.
We can make love if I'm wearing hooves on my hands and feet.
Now, you fanciful little man. This is not the first time such an idea has come up.
I want to do some clopping.
Oh, dearie my. Oh, Matthew, now you've done it. We were having a lovely conversation about what? The outer world? About Star Trek? About what Star Trek character would you be in the outer worlds?
I might be a Selah, maybe?
What the?
Manipulating
a Selah pennies.
Tasha Yar's daughter.
Oh.
But I'm also good, so I don't know. Who's someone good who does a lot of, like, maybe I'd be... There's that negotiator in season one who was deaf, and he brought people together.
Oh, my.
So that's kind of what I want to do as my guy.
What about playing three-dimensional chess with Lieutenant Commander Data?
Kohlrabi.
Is that you?
I think that was his name.
Matthew.
Which, now that I think about it, isn't that a kind of broccoli?
I don't know.
I might be thinking of Broccoli Rob.
You might be. Oh, my goodness. Who's he?
No, wait. Isn't there a guy named Broccoli Rob?
There's Lieutenant Broccoli.
I think... No. There's a character on The Office named Broccoli Rob.
Oh.
But Broccoli Rob is also kind of vegetable.
Okay. Oh, dear. What's happening?
I'm having a stroke of genius.
Who is your Outer Worlds character most like?
Spock.
Oh, really? No passions? You have a passion for murder when you get caught.
Well, I didn't mean to.
Oh, and then you hit it.
But then
it,
I just got all swept up in it.
Oh, my. This is how it happened so suddenly, and then you turn to killing. Oh, tonight we go out killing.
I want to be maybe Janeway, because I want to be a good leader who supports my people, but I also take an interest in their private life.
And you have wild mood swings.
Was she known for that?
I think it's just they wrote her very differently episode to episode, unlike some of the other characters that were more consistent throughout the series.
She was not entirely a consistent character.
Yeah.
She has a wonderful scene where one of the actors is playing a weird alien whose makeup, his face is done up with this like latex covering that it seems like when it happens in the scene, it seems like the actor just discovered, like, while they were shooting, that if he did something funny with his nose, he could blow into his own latex face mask and make it inflate.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does that in a scene, and Kate Mulgrew reacts.
She sure does.
As though she did not know that was coming.
And it's in character, because he's being huffy.
He's annoyed, and so he does it angrily.
And so there's these two, like, sacks that inflate under his nose that, I think you're correct, were not meant to be inflato sacks. They were just part of his mask that if he breathed too hard would blow up. And Kate Mulgrew's reaction is incredible to it, Matthew.
I really, like, who knows if this is true, but I really want to believe that the actress did not know that was happening until it happened, because she does such an amazing take.
Yes.
She's like Kramer for a moment. She doesn't, like, fall over, but she gives this, like, astounded, bemused double take that is one of the greatest moments of acting I've ever seen. And I've seen Erin Brockovich.
Erin Brockovich, Matthew, she had the strength to carry on. She had her nails trimmed tastefully so she didn't hack and slash at all her lovers. Because, boy, she had a lot of them, Matthew. She would say, voulez-vous, amuse-bouche, le poisson.
Amuse-bouche à la poisson. Yeah. That'd be such a weird, James. I'm going to...
Allons-y. Voulez-vous amuse-bouche à la poisson?
Let's go.
Yeah.
Do you want appetizer, basically? Fish?
Matthew.
Yeah?
Is that not sexy?
It's... Look, James...
If someone sidled up to you at...
You gave me a weird touch.
I didn't. I gave you a romance touch.
You didn't. You tickled.
If someone came up to you with a touch of romance
and then tickling,
leaned in and said, "Ah, mon frère, frère Jacques,
yes,
mon frère, frère Jacques, allons-y." voulez-vous amuse-bouche le po- à la le poisson?
Oh, you added an a la.
Aha.
Amuse-bouche of the fish.
Ah, de la mer.
Oh, of the sea. It's a fish of the sea.
Aha. Ave Maria. Sacre bleu. Crème pâte. Je te plumerai.
Oh, I will pluck you.
Je te plumerai. Je te plumerai.
Jeez, I have to say, I find this sensual and appealing.
Matthew, what is the French word for chicken?
Oh, I used to know that. Poulet.
Oh.
It's the Poulet brothers.
Oh. Poulet.
The tickling, you can't tickle me.
Poulet de la mer.
Mm-hmm.
O poulet à la mer.
Chicken at the sea?
Poulet. Oh, poulet à la mer. Chete.
You're
Chete.
You're having the time of your life here.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Imagining.
Yeah.
This is how someone actually flirted with you in France.
Oh,
Matthew.
Yes.
They came up to you with the touch. And you're like, oh, it tickles. I don't like it. And you're like, oh, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. Poulet? Poulez-vous?
Stop it.
Poulez-vous?
James. Poulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Poulez-vous coucher avec moi?
It's so funny.
Allons-y, amuse-bouche.
Great.
À la mer. Oh, je te plumerai. Je te plumerai.
Honestly, I've been flirted with worse.
Oh, what's the worst flirt you've gotten?
I don't know. I feel like somebody, I don't know. I feel like I've been negged on occasion.
You tell me about that. I've not heard of your negs.
I feel like there was an occasion recently, and I can't remember what it was, where somebody was like, oh, the way that you're dressing lately reminds me of when I was going through a midlife crisis.
What?
Or something like that. It was, but they were like, but at least I could pull it off. Or something like that. I know. It was like terrible.
Who said that?
I don't remember.
In what context?
I think it was on a live stream. I can't recall.
Oh.
So that wasn't a good one. There's also, you know, just the standard, like, I don't know, stranger puts his arm on my leg or something like that.
Oh, okay.
When I was, you know. Thing kind of, oh no, oh, the worst, and it was a little bit my fault, because I forgot to zip my fly up.
Oh my, well, Matthew, I mean,
so
I don't want to say that you're asking for it, but when you have your penis out.
It wasn't out, no. I was strolling around at the Eagle here in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
And this man starts, like, reaching down and into my fly, and that's when I realized that my fly had been down this whole time.
Oh, Matthew.
And I was like, well, I guess I gotta go along with this.
You don't?
No.
What?
No, I was like, you know, I have to disentangle myself from the situation delicately without causing a scene, because I was there to work.
Hooker.
I had to take pictures of people, and I couldn't be like, get away from me and cause a terrible situation.
Or at least give him a rate card. Now, I want to be very clear, that is not okay. You do not reach into somebody's pants without consent. How dreadful.
It wasn't good. So, you know, and because I was in kind of a weird situation where I was there to work and I had not taken many photos yet, and I needed to take, you know, like 70 more photos before the end of the night in order to get paid.
A crime scene photo.
Basically. So, you know, I just put on a happy face, and I was like, haha, aren't you cheeky, and backed away as fast as I could.
And took his hand with you.
Yes, it was still in there.
It was torn off.
Yep.
And that's how Thing came to be.
So that was probably the worst flirt.
Oh, that's a bad flirt.
It was a bad bake, Mary.
Oh, my goodness, Matthew.
That's what I should have said to him.
Oh. Oh.
Not a good one. Not a good one.
Oh.
But I don't know. I've probably flirted with people worse. There was... I'm a little difficult to understand when I'm trying to be... give you the old wink and nudge.
Voulez-vous.
Yes. That's about the... I don't know. Like, when I'm trying to remember how I flirted with you. It was probably very confusing.
It was very confusing.
I brought you garbage.
You brought me garbage.
I did do that.
Yes.
So, but you liked it.
I took the garbage,
you
Matthew,
did.
And I ate it.
You're my grouch.
Oh, my God.
You're like Oscar flying over the turnstile.
What?
In the
what?
Sesame Street Christmas special from 1986
or 7, maybe.
They go ice skating, and then when they're riding the subway back to Sesame Street, they lift Oscar's trash can up and over the turnstile.
A fair evasion.
Here's what I'll say.
Yes.
Every time I fire up the Kindle app on this little iPad,
yes,
it gives you an image of a silhouette of a child reading under a tree beneath a starry sky with a shooting star and the limitless imagination of literature.
The mind of a child. It's a beautiful thing.
And then I fire up Model Land.
Yes.
And imagine if that's the book that child under the tree is reading.
Oh, my goodness, Matthew.
We're on chapter 31.
Yes.
Despairing Desperation.
Despairing Desperation. Tell me about it.
It's kind of a slow one, as Model Land chapters go.
My God.
There's one horror, but that's kind of it. So
only one horror.
Yeah. So Tookie and friends have decided that they need to leave, but they don't know how they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, nearly everyone in the D caught 7-7 fever.
Uh-huh.
And at this point, I don't even know if that's an actual sickness or if everyone's just excited for 7-7s.
Sure.
It seems like there's going to be some sort of competition because they're like, I'm positive Crisby is going to make it.
Uh-huh.
Who the fuck's Crisby?
The great psychic. I don't know. I've been through this book several times. I don't know what a Crisby is, Matthew.
They have discussions about Merino versus Mohair.
Okay.
Obviously, Merino. Mm. That's what I'm knitting the scarf out of right now.
Oh, it's a very soft scarf.
Yes, Mohair's not so good. Mm. And they're going to class, and everything's just kind of going normally for them. And then they decide that they're going to... Oh, first they go through the stadium that's almost finished.
Oh, my God.
And one of them has the idea, like, we could use the zip-zap to escape.
Oh, my God.
But it's dangerous.
It's so dangerous to do that.
Because sometimes when you use the zip-zap, it dumps you out into the no man's land? What's it called?
The Diabolical Divide.
That's it. The Diabolical Divide.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, oh, that would be dangerous. Instead, let's just climb over the wall.
Yes.
So they go and check out the wall, and they find a spot where they could probably climb over, and they mark the spot by putting one hair between the bricks.
Yes.
Doesn't seem like a great way to find something again.
You gotta get a load of this hair.
It's, like, real thick.
Yes.
And then they're gonna climb over the wall, but before they can, somebody else climbs over the wall.
Yes.
It's Desperada, who misses her boyfriend.
That's right, yes.
And she's upset, and she wants to climb over, and Ciel goads her into it. She eggs her on, and she says, go on, go do it,
yes.
Blah. Mm. And so she does, and when she gets on the other side of the wall, she's struck by lightning, and then struck by lightning again, and that makes the wall transparent, and everyone can see that she just gets very old.
Uh-huh.
And what a nightmare. And then a ski gondola comes by and picks her up in a claw and carries her away to her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that situation.
Yes.
And it's an important lesson for the girls, for the gals, that they shouldn't climb the wall.
Yes, if you go over the wall, Matthew, you get the ultimate problem. Yeah, old.
Old.
It's the ultimate punishment is the word I was looking for.
The ultimate problem.
Oh, but it's also the ultimate problem, Matthew. Oh, my flesh.
So then they're like, uh-oh, so we better not do that. They have some more boring dispute with Zarpessa that never seems to go anywhere. It's just like, she's been mean to us. Well, we're going to be unhappy about it. That's right. Just the way it always goes with her.
Yes. If it was a TV show, you could almost get away with like, oh, in this here's this episode scene where Zarpessa is a bitch. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Then, meanwhile, and nothing's really made of this, there's an earthquake afterwards. And then, when they look around, the giant statue of the Belladonna is gone, and there's footprints the size of a car. But then everyone's like, anyway, that was weird. Bye. Yep.
Well, you know, they've seen a lot.
It's been a busy night. And so then they go back home to their dorm place, and Tookie starts writing a letter to CL in Oktoberfestian.
Yep. I wonder what that is.
So I didn't realize that CL was supposed to be German.
Oh.
Is she?
I think she speaks it. I don't know that she is German, but maybe. Maybe.
Okay, well, maybe not then. So I just took that to mean, like, that was her native tongue, and that's why Tookie's writing in that language.
Oh.
Because I was like, oh, is CL just supposed to be Heidi Klum?
No, it's Tyra.
CL is Tyra?
Oh, yeah. She and Tookie. They're both two different sides of Tookie, or of Tyra.
Okay. Okay, well, never mind. Because I was like, oh, maybe everyone in this book, because, like, there are definitely, like, characters that I'm like, okay, well, that's just somebody that Tyra knows.
Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking about CL.
Uh-huh.
So Tookie writes an angry letter to her saying, you're a bitch. Uh-huh. And that's the end of the chapter.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Then we're on to chapter 32. There is no, has never been, and never will be. We're 67% of the way through the book.
Oh, my goodness. And what do you think of your adventure so far?
There's a real intrigue popping up, bubbling along, gooing up around me. And I don't know. I am enjoying like how Tyra seems to be improving as a writer. But I do think that this chapter was a little slow. And also the thing that seems the most intriguing about it, the statue walking away, nobody comments on?
That is far less upsetting than watching somebody get old.
I suppose.
Matthew, yeah. What could be more upsetting than a young person looking old?
It's another moment that sort of calls Tyra's bluff of like, oh, the beauty is within.
Right.
But the ultimate horror is looking old.
Yes. Yeah. No, there's a whole bunch of those where it's like, you know, oh, it's, you know, all shapes, all sizes, all types.
But not ugly
All
ones.
Ages. Yeah. And then it's like, yeah, but really, Tyra? Really? Really? Because not old. That's for sure. And then, you know, there have been times where it's like, you know, oh, and they see themselves ugly and there's descriptions of what ugly it is. And it's like, oh, okay. So like, that's not beautiful.
Yep. So anyway, that's the latest from Model Land. Everyone's still pretty except for the girl who left. As soon as you leave being a model, you get ugly.
You get nobody old wants you. And nobody wants you. It's true.
Mm. And we've got 8 weeks left in the year for Tyra to open her Model Land attraction.
Well, she's going to do it just to spite you now.
I hope so. I want her to really stick it to me.
I want her to lean into you and say, ah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Escargot.
What? Oh. I thought you said scategories.
Oh.
Scategories.
Category. Caviar.
Do you remember,
Champlain,
James, when we went to the Puppetry Guild meeting? And there was the woman who said origami.
Yes.
But it was the one word that she said with an intense accent.
Sure.
I don't remember what reminded me of that. I guess just your outrageous French accent. Yep. Reminded me of the woman who said origami with an intense accent in the middle of an otherwise unremarkable sentence.
What is the word for peak?
Couchant, I think.
Ah, couchant. La couchant, couchant. Oh, la la la.
The word for beef is boeuf.
Boeuf. Here under protest is beef burgers.
There's not no, here. I think the word, the French word for burger is just burger.
Ah, le burger.
Oh, yeah, hamburger.
Hamburger, help out.
There's like a few, like hamburger and les blue jeans.
Les blue da boo dee da boo da.
And I think soccer is just le foot.
Or le football.
Well, football.
It's football all over.
Everywhere, but it's just like in conversation you say le foot.
Oh, le foot. Oh, foot. My goodness, Matthew. Yeah. Well, you've got to be careful because that could send you to some websites, Matthew.
Oh, oh,
For the fan of le foot.
Yes. The Foot Clan. You go to the Foot Clan's website.
Fruit by le foot.
There, I was looking at some old newspaper articles this week and came across an article about Ellen DeGeneres is coming out and how it's going to be a cyber affair.
Oh.
It was an article from 1997 about how the internet is reacting to Ellen DeGeneres.
How did the internet react to Ellen DeGeneres? Did it all, they all became gay.
Yeah. There were Ellen, like, websites about, like, how to have a party themed around Ellen, where people served Ellen-themed foods.
What is an Ellen-themed food?
Okay, this is bananas, and I don't understand.
Is it bananas?
It's not bananas.
Because I was going to say, she doesn't want those.
That would
not
be appropriate. No, James.
Yeah.
James. The first thing on the menu?
Yeah.
Smoked salmon.
Why?
The reason has not been explained.
Okay.
It was smoked salmon.
Uh-huh.
There were snow peas with caviar.
Why?
I don't know.
What is Ellen themed about any of these?
A minted fruit salad with bourbon.
I mean, fruit, I don't, what? So is this just someone was like, I have a bunch of like peas and mint and bourbon and my friends are coming over to watch Ellen?
I think that might be it. The person who put together this menu is also the owner of a deli.
Okay. So he just stopped
lying
around
the deli? So he just
brought
over stuff from his deli, I think.
Okay.
But the menu is described in this detail that's like, why this? Why now? Why Ellen?
Sure.
So, so there was a recommended menu for Ellen's coming out episode.
Oh.
And that was somebody's idea in 1997. And also, homemade peach ice cream.
What does it have to do with Ellen?
I don't know. So the menu... the menu is... smoked salmon, snow peas with caviar, minted bourbon fruit salad, and homemade peach ice cream.
Okay.
Imagine how that party must have smelled.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yikes.
And so this was Cheka. I posted this on Twitter. And Cheka pointed out this would have been April in New Orleans, which means it's hot and the windows are closed.
Uh-huh.
And the air conditioning's on. So you are trapped in an air-conditioned room with all these smells.
Oh, my goodness, Matthew. Wowie zowie. This is what happens when people come out. This is the degradation of society, Matthew. You have to smell the ice cream. You have to smell the fish. You have to smell the pee, Matthew.
Yeah.
Oh, the pee of it all.
So that's how you celebrate Ellen.
Oh.
And that's how I celebrate the moments of our lives.
Oh, tonight I celebrate a thing. Wow. So here's the thing. I haven't been able to talk much for the last 15 minutes or so, because there is suddenly a real thawing of the glaciers.
Oh, no.
In my skull, Matthew. And
you're having nasal problems, I know.
There's been a real flooding of my basement, if you know what I mean.
No. All right, we better wrap it up then so you can tend to yourself. Maybe you need to take a steamy shower or something. Would that help?
Here's what I need, Matthew.
Yeah? Tell me what you need. Tell me how I can help.
I need what's known in the business as the sinus massage.
Nope.
Yeah,
that I can't provide. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Oh, the great sinus massage, Matthew. Right. It's like a neti pot, but it's done with tiny hands.
Okay, well, maybe I'll give that to you. I don't know where I'm going to get tiny hands from, but I got to find a little baby to strap to my chest.
Ah, massage your face. Voulez-vous, baby?
Okay, voulez-vous? All right, that'll just about do it for us, I think. Let's go get your nose taken care of. And listeners, thank you for joining us once again. Send us your questions or requests for things for us to check out or talk about or look at. And I think we will see you next week. Until then, I blow you out. Tookie de la creme.